Online, on mobile, and on DAB. Across Stoke-on-Trent and Newcastle-under-Lyme. This is Six Towns Radio.
Now, if you say the name Ross Noble, there is people in Stoke-on-Trent that will be rushing online right now to find clips of the incredible comedian. And he is at the Victoria Hall on Thursday, tomorrow, as of recording this. And I am delighted to say the Wizard of Waffle, the Rambler of Royale, and the Noodler's Noodler is on the phone with me right now. Ross, how are we?
I'm very well, thanks. That sounded like you were going, if you say the name Ross Noble, people will go online and go, who?
I would never.
That's what it sounded like.
Just go online
and find out.
If you need to know who he is, go on his Wikipedia.
People usually go, oh, it's that bloke with the hair. And then, although to be fair, I did do a show one night, and there's a woman in the front row, and she was like turning to her husband, and like her husband was like, he bought the tickets, he was like a diehard fan, he was loving it, and this woman was really confused, and like I said, what's up? Like something's about it. And she went, oh, sorry, it's just, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, oh, sorry, is this not your sort of humour? She went, no, he said, we're going to go and see Ross Noble. She went, which one? So she went, the one with the hair, thought it was Mickey Flanagan.
Oh, wow.
And then literally spent the first 5 minutes going, why has he got a Geordie accent?
trying to figure out why you haven't said, let's go out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on. Ross, anyway, you are in the middle of this tour, so you must get bogged down with touring, and then when you get a situation like that, does that throw you off, or does that kind of put a spring in your step to go, I'm going for it?
Not at all. Can I just point out that happens very, very rarely. It happened one time when I was doing a run in the West End, so I was doing like a load of shows, like 6 weeks or something, and I was on Shaftesbury Avenue, and this couple got up and left after 15. This Japanese couple got up and left, and the bloke on the door was like, "What's the problem?" And they went, "This isn't Wicked," and they had basically. I was playing the Apollo on Shaftesbury Avenue. There's the Apollo where Wicked was on down at Charing Cross. So some people turned up late thinking it was the Hammersmith Apollo. Some people turned up because they thought that it was Wicked. But they waited 15 minutes. 15 minutes of me talking absolute nonsense. And like going, at no point they went, why isn't he green? This just... But no, it's great. That's the thing about my shows, is the fact that it's like, you know, some people kind of, you know, they write a show, it's got a theme, it's got a sort of, you know, and you go along and it's the show. But with me, it's the sort of thing where, yeah, I get very easily distracted. So if something happens, then you just, off you go. You just follow it.
I'm hoping then to see a rendition of Ross Noble do Defying Gravity. That's.
I'd be more than happy to. But the trouble is that would be playing into what they want. You know.
there's that little bit of, you got to give them what they want, Ross. You got to give them what they want.
Yeah, that's true. I'll just say, right, I'll be back on in the second half of the show. I'll be back on wearing a witch's hat for you.
Just covered in green paint, but just nothing else. It's still you.
You know what? The dressing room. Imagine the dressing room backstage at that theatre, because she's covered in the green every night, and I refuse to believe that, like, well, like between the dressing room and the stage, like maybe, you know, there'll be like a little water cooler thing to, you know, for the cast to have. I bet you there's green fingerprints everywhere.
It would be impossible to do anything and not get away with it. It's like you go, well, no, your fingerprints are all over it. How would you know they're mine? You're the only green one.
Well, you know what? That is now the perfect crime, isn't it? I think I'm going to cover my hands in green paint, and I'm going to go down to that theatre, and I'm going to commit a crime. And then, oh, it's perfect. Right. It writes itself. Sunday night, detective drama. Everyone thinks it's the witch. And then... Turns out it's not. Turns out it's a I was going to say a local gardener with green fingers, but that's just metaphoric, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Although maybe that could be the story that leads people down that path. There's a green-fingered criminal on the loose. Nobody's pointing the finger at Elphaba.
Yeah, the amount of times witches have gone to prison and it was Alan Titchmarsh the whole time.
Nobody ever suspects Titchmarsh.
Oh, the thing about Titchmarsh is the stuff that Titchmarsh could get away with because he's so gentle, you know.
it's his voice as well. Like he could just, it's a soothing criminal. Now, maybe that's what Michael Jackson was talking about, was smooth criminal.
Yeah, what? On the album, if you opened up the sleeve, it was just mugshots of Titchmarsh. Just like I don't know if you've watched that Titchmarsh show that he does on the weekend. Love Your Garden or something like Love Your Weekend. He wears the most extraordinary, tweed outfits. Like he's like it's insane. I think he's in the pocket of Big Tweed.
Is this the same show that, I don't know if you saw the news, but his shows were shown in North Korea, which sounds like a lie, but they had to kind of pixelate his trousers because they were too extravagant. So North Koreans could watch Titchmarsh, but only from the waist up.
Oh my God. You know what? If that isn't the name of an indie band in the 90s, Titchmarsh's pixelated trousers, like it's the most... And if anyone's looking for a new password for their for any of their internet sites, I would heartily use that. Recommend
Titchmarsh's pixelated trousers.
Yeah, 32.
That's actually my password. I'm gonna have to change it now. I'm gonna have to change it.
No, but what you can do as well is be very careful that the number that you use isn't Titchmarsh's actual waist size, because then people will look on the thing and they'll go, oh, Alan's slimmed down, right? Get him in 33. There you go. Access granted.
Maybe I now need to find out. I'm gonna that's a bit of research I'm gonna do after this interview, is find out what size trousers Alan Titchmarsh is in, because it's a burning question that I feel like the entirety of Stoke-on-Trent and Newcastle under Lyme need to know.
I mean, certainly would be. I think you'll need to contact the local council or mayor of Harris, the island of Harris, where all the tweed comes from.
See if we can get insider knowledge.
Well, I think it's like the blend of herbs and spices, you know, that the colonel has. The Titchmarsh's dimensions are kept in a locked box on the Isle of Harris.
It's the recipe for Coca-Cola and the herbs and spices all packed away.
All in there's one big vault, and yeah, there's just one old security guard with his hat and tilted at an angle, just sleeping in front of all of those secrets.
Ross, I was going to ask you like what can people expect when they come to the show tomorrow?
Well, tonight they can expect Titchmarsh's trousers. That's the general vibe. Look, you've talked to me for 5 minutes now. You get the general gist. You know? It's sort of
is this how your mind works on a daily basis?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on a not just a daily basis, a minute by minute basis, and if I had any other job or was trying to, move through the world without doing what I do, it would probably be a terrifying and confusing.
It would be a lot to take if you were on the checkouts in Asda.
Yeah, exactly, but. Although, to be fair, if you do work on the checkouts at Asda, feel free to, if somebody tells you something like extraordinary, why not go, great, Titchmarsh's trousers, if I didn't know that.
Titchmarsh's trousers, that is a fantastic way to kind of, it could be anything. It could be a swear, it could be an exclamation of joy, it could be anything.
Exactly, and that's... Or just during a particularly passionate moment in your life.
Or it could be the name of a child. I feel like
my Lord.
We could get little baby Titchmarsh's trousers rocking around.
Yeah, I'll be on the list. You don't have the list of the names that you're not allowed to call your kids by law. That's probably,
it's going to be a government-issued name.
I mean, if you actually see it, Titchmarsh's trousers three times into a mirror holding a candle, I won't tell you what appears behind you. It's
the trouserless Titchmarsh.
Sorry.
It's like Voldemort. You shouldn't say it. I'm not going to keep you too long. You are on stage later on, and I feel like if I carry on talking to you about Titchmarsh's trousers, the people, because you're at Buxton tonight, the people of Buxton are just going to have an hour and a half of Titchmarsh.
That's what they're getting.
If anybody wants it, it's probably going to be the people of Buxton. It's a very green area.
It is. It's a very tweedy area as well.
There is people.
Yeah, exactly.
Should be the mayor of Buxton.
Yes, you're right. Sorry, I've got distracted. I'm Stoke on Trent, and there are still tickets available if you would like to come along. RossNoble.com is my website with all the details, or you can probably get them straight from the venue.
From the venue as well. Is Stoke-on-Trent, just before I let you go, is Stoke-on-Trent one of the places that started you getting gifts on stage? I don't know if that happens much anymore, but I remember there was a time where you would get a load of random items on the stage. Yeah. And at one point, there was a shoe. Somebody left their own shoe on stage.
Yeah, Stoke-on-Trent, there was one of those... what's the wheat-based product that you love there? The
oatcakes.
Oatcakes, yeah. People leaving oatcakes on the stage. And I put one of the shows from Stoke-on-Trent, I put on one of my DVDs. They are quite good with the gift. Yes is the answer.
Do you still get that? Because that's kind of a very unique thing to you. You don't go to many shows and leave gifts on the stage.
Yeah, so I get, it depends on the area really, and it sort of depends on, like the other night I did a gig in Glasgow, and I was talking about how there was a shop near the theatre, and it was called Everyday Essentials, and I looked in the window and there was a statue, little porcelain figure of a fairy with a full wings, dressed in like Arctic type gear, with a wolf next to her. And so basically this show, I was going on about how, I don't know how essential that is, or if you would use it every day. Like, who's living their life where they're going, got my keys, got my wallet, or better get the fairy statue next to the wolf. And I was going on and on about that. And then, I posted a picture of it on my Instagram, and then, loads of people went to the shop afterwards. Of course, the shop was closed. But then two nights later, I was in Dunfermline. And I walk out on stage, and somebody had bought the statue, gone to the shop, bought the statue, turned up at the next show, and left it on stage as a continuation of the thing. And then I had to explain to that audience what the thing was. And then on the last, was it last two or two before last, I mentioned bowling pins, and then people started bringing. So by the end of the tour, I had full 10-pin bowling set up.
Maybe that's the trick. Maybe we're coming up to Christmas. Maybe you just drop things in about things you want to get, like your family and friends for Christmas, and go, oh, that 30-inch plasma telly, eh? I can't believe that. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you've got one.
It's got to be stuff that you can get on the stage, isn't it? Because you start talking about Porsches. Oh, yeah, they're very good vehicles, yeah.
Well, they could just put the keys and then it's outside wrapped up. Maybe that's what they could do.
Well, you know, when you listen to podcasts nowadays, it always makes me laugh when there's like, I heard one once, and it was an American guy. He's brilliant, but he was talking about how he's having this existential crisis, and, you know, how he was finding life really difficult. And then he paused and he just went, Sherry's Berries, do you want wonderful strawberries covered in chocolate? You just go, hang on, mate. It's a bit of a gear shift there. So, and you know, the podcast, the way that they just work in the advertising, that hasn't happened in stand-up yet. So I might start doing that. Just deliberately mentioning how good Auto Glass is.
Just randomly break into a jingle of Auto Glass.
They'd probably pay me money not to mention their product on stage. They'd probably go, we don't want to be associated with this nonsense.
Halfway through a story, next thing you know, you go, Auto Glass repair, Auto Glass. Like, stop this, man. Yeah. That's what happened. Ross, you are coming to the Victoria Hall tomorrow. You are in the middle of it. You've gone a lot of places. How do you cope? Yeah. How do you cope with the touring life? Because it's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of, I imagine, hotel stays. How do you cope with that traveling around?
Well, it's one of those things, as I always say, when you hear comedians complaining about staying in hotels all the time, probably not staying in very nice hotels. that's the difference. No, I really like it. I mean, it's the sort of thing where that's not the only sort of downside of it is it's just the driving. You know, it's the fact that, you know, sitting in motorway, you know, like sitting in traffic jams and stuff is a bit of a nightmare. But you can listen to. Nowadays, you can listen to the podcast, the audio books. You've got digital radio. Whereas, you know, when I first started touring, you basically had Radio 2, Radio 4, and then you couldn't listen to 5 Live because it was on AM. And and of course, you've got stations like yourself where you can listen to all the top hits.
You absolute smoothie.
See what I did there?
Look, you know what? You've won me over. If it wasn't for Tix Marsh's trousers, it was that. That's what's happened. Ross, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I'm going to let you go. You are at Buxton tonight. You're at the Victoria Hall in Stoke tomorrow. Don't forget to get your oatcakes because obviously we don't want to start frisbeeing at you. That's kind of what we do at Stoke. If you don't take the oatcake as your own, we will force it upon you until you say it's nice.
Lovely.
That's what happens. Ross Noble, thank you so much for joining me on Six Towns Radio.
The voice of your community since 2010. This is Six Towns Radio.